Don't forget to subscribe to Lethal Mullet Network on lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com for all the latest action movie news and, of course, from the 80s, 90s and beyond.
All right, lights, camera, action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to Lethal Mullet Network and, of course, the great show, Lethal Mullet Podcast, looking at the action movies of the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, even before, if they had them, even before, we'll be chatting about those as well. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien. And of course, we chat about the 2000s and even the more recent ones, which we're going to be doing tonight here as we look at a Frank Grillo film by the name of Boss Level. This is a great movie which has touches of Groundhog's Day. It has touches of computer games. And I'm talking about retro video games, folks. You know, the old ones we use with, of course, cartridge and all that sort of stuff. Going to the days of Nintendo and beyond. And this really has that sort of, you know, going back in time sort of feel. What could you do if you had the chance to go back and do something again? Except for poor old Frank Grillo in this. He's having to do it over and over and over again. That's right, folks. And this is a great film. Also starring Michelle Yeoh. Also got Mel Gibson. We've got a whole host of amazing actors in this, and also Naomi Watts as well. It's an action film, but it's also a bit of a comedy at the same time, and it was one that I saw on streaming. I do believe it was on Amazon that I saw this one on, and it is great. Now I've got the hard copy, a DVD of this one as well, and if you haven't seen it, you're going to go and see it, folks. It's just great action film, and you don't really need to go into it thinking about things too much because it really gives you everything that you need. It is a straight-up action fare. And, of course, done by the director, Joe Carnahan. Yes, the director of Narc. Great director. One that, you know, doesn't suffer fools. I've always noticed his work is always one that always seems to be bang on target when it came to his films. Smoking Aces, obviously one of his. You'll find him also on the Blade Runner Final Cut documentary, chatting about his love of Blade Runner. That's right. Great director, and he's obviously got definitely his own identity when it comes to film. This is certainly one of those. It has kind of a feel of Smoking Aces to a certain extent, but at the same time, this is its own film, and Grillo really does bring it home. You know, he does an amazing job in the film. But before we get into that, folks, today we need to let you know how you can catch this show and many others like it.
And I've been working long, long, long days ahead, working in front of a VHS.
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet.
We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All right, time to chat some news, folks, about some new acquisitions I've got here at Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. Now, some of these are movies which I've seen previously or ones that I've seen years and years before. And, of course, these are ones that are going to be very rare to find in a hard-cased version or, in this case, just something that's not digital. I'm talking about movies, folks, which, you know, are going to be hard to find in the years to come in any form, whether it be VHS or in, you know, the form that's more readily available right now, which is still DVD to this day. DVD is probably the most prevalent form, no matter how they tried with HD DVD back in 2006, and also trying, as they may, with, of course, Blu-ray, which still to this day, no matter what they try to put out, you know, a digital format is just a lot more accessible for anyone, no matter where you are in the world. You know, digital platform is here. Streaming channels, the streaming way of getting things out digitally, is just, again, it's convenience. You know, if it's got a convenience, you're always going to be able to do it. But having said that, there's some movies which are going to be hard to find because a lot of them just will not be available in those formats. Now, we've previously covered Nine Deaths of the Ninja on this channel, folks. And as I mentioned on that episode, the only one I've seen here in Australia is not a DVD edition, but a VHS edition. That's the only thing I've ever seen out here. And, you know, I hadn't seen the film since about probably 1989 or 1990, at least, you know, that far back. And what's great about it is now I've found a DVD edition. It is in a two-pack called the Maximum Action One double feature. And, of course, it has Nine Deaths of the Ninja on the one side. And then, on the other disc, it has one called Kill Point, which I am happy to say is actually not too bad. It's an interesting film, one I never knew anything about, to be honest. I've never seen this film before. I know some of the cast in it, but I certainly don't know them offhand. So Joe Marks, played by Cameron Mitchell, has robbed the National Guard Armory in an attempt to basically build up his marketing of black market guns. So black market sales where he's got firearms and weapons of various kinds. He's stolen all the goods, the grenades, the rockets, the launchers, to completely outfit a small army. Every criminal is purchasing arms from him and his partner, and it's up to Richard Roundtree, that's right, Shaft, who plays FBI agent Bill Bryant in this, along with Lieutenant James Long, played by Leo Fong. And this is a great, you know, buddy cop movie in some ways, folks. You know, it's cheaply made. I'm going to say that, you know, it's definitely not a huge budget film. But what's great about it with Kill Point is that it's pretty brutal. The action scenes certainly aren't the slickest you've ever seen, and certainly is, you know, probably a little bit stilted in some place. But I quite enjoyed it, you know, for something that I'd never seen before. And certainly when it's up against the likes of Shokasugi, in terms of being in the same package, folks, not too bad at all. That package alone is a certain, like, definitely going to hit 3 out of 5 in the Hallenbach scale. Also, I picked up, of course, as we're going to be talking about tonight, Boss Level, which is a great flick, folks. We also picked up another one we're going to be chatting about in about a week's time, Welcome to Sudden Death, starring Michael J. White and his partner. And it also has in it Michael Eklund, Sabrin Rock, Anthony Grant, Nakai Takawira, and Lyric Justice. And, of course, Gillian White. Of course, Michael J. White's partner and wife. And what's great about this is it plays on, obviously, the same idea as the Jean-Claude Van Damme film. This is a sequel. It's one of those direct-to-DVD sequels or direct-to-streaming, it being in the home theater sort of format. Michael Jai always delivers. You know, he's certainly somebody that's always been involved in martial arts cinema, action cinema as well, and obviously some great roles in some big movies like Spawn and, of course, The Dark Knight. But of course, he holds multiple black belts in various styles of martial arts, most prominently karate, and he's certainly one of the best kickers in the business, folks. So well worth checking out. And of course, it's a bit of simple, dumb fun when it comes to just how easily, you know, that a film like that will just relax you, folks. You know, you sit back, you don't have to think about the plot. You just sit down, relax, and get into it. And there's some interesting stuff in it too, which we'll talk about in that episode. Different ways that it's different from the original version. It's not a hockey match in this one. It's a basketball match. So, again, same idea as the Van Damme one, but done quite differently as well. Okay, next up is the HBO show Warrior, based on the writings of Bruce Lee. This is, of course, with the tagline, "This isn't China, this is Chinatown." Now, this is going back to the idea that Bruce Lee had back in the day for a Western using Kung Fu. That's right. The same idea that was, in some ways, obviously, what we got with the Kung Fu TV show, which came out in the 70s with David Carradine. Obviously, it was, you know, the same sort of idea that he had with this Warrior series. Now, this is great. It's one that I've been wanting to check out for quite a while. And in it, it follows the story of R. Sam, played by Andrew Koji, who's a martial arts prodigy, emigrates from China to San Francisco under mysterious circumstances. Starring alongside him is Olivia Cheng, James Tobin, Diane Doan, and Kieran Bue, and more. And it looks absolutely gorgeous. Like some of the stuff I've seen, it really fits that sort of mold of what could be an amazing TV show and just one with great martial arts, folks. So we're very keen to see where this one goes. And if anything's to go by, Kyle Wagner of the FPN has said it looks fantastic. So we'll go with that. Now, Dan Hadley, of course, of Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast. Who do you say? Tom Baker. Yes, who? Tom Baker. I could go round three for that one, folks. There we go. Tom Baker. That's right. Tom Baker did a little show called Doctor Who back in the day, and he's still to this day the most popular of that run of characters, and to be honest, the only one I can stand, because he's just a very funny guy. Always has been.
We want more Tom Baker. Who? Tom Baker.
And no doubt, folks, you're going to get it soon because Dan Hadley's coming back on the show. We're actually going to be talking about Sharda in a much more deep conversation about this Douglas Adams episode of the series, which was, of course, unfinished. You know, they just basically put it on the shelf when they had a bit of a crisis with the unions over there at the time, back in the 1979 with Tom Baker. And, of course, it being, you know, that classic era of Trek, they decided to finish it off animated. And it'd be interesting to see Dan's opinion on those things and all things Tom Baker. So stay tuned for that. Also, I've got a film by Isaac Florentine, which has just popped up, starring, of course, Scott Adkins. Who do you say, folks? Scott Adkins. That's right, Scott Adkins. And also, Mario Van Peebles. That's right. And it's from the director of Undisputed. And this is a great one, which is, you know, one of those military slash terrorist-like ones where we have a former Special Forces agent by the name of Nero, played by Scott Adkins, who moves to basically a beach town area and completely leaves his life behind. But he receives a phone call. And it says that his son has been kidnapped. And he's got only so many hours to find him before he dies. So you know the kind of movie that you're getting into. And, you know, this is the sort of stuff that Scott Adkins does without even breaking a sweat, folks. Yes, you're going to get that kind of movie with him. And it looks good. And it feels good. And guess what? It is good. Well worth checking out. Now, on the Blu-ray front, I've had some nice, amazing films pop up here. And ones which I know you all would agree, some of the best ones out there. Without a doubt, some of the greats are always worth re-watching and reappraising for their greatness over the years. One of those is Akira. Akira is a great manga from Japan, and it's certainly one of your great animated science fiction films. Not only just animated, but science fiction in general. It has everything from a kaiju feel, even though it's not kaiju. It's very much got the size and destruction feel of something like a Godzilla film. You know, it doesn't have obviously the beasts and stuff like that, but it has supernatural powers in this, which certain characters have. And of course, we're talking about the events which will also encompass not only the characters, but the world of Akira. Akira is one of the most lavishly animated films from Japan. It is absolutely gorgeous. The backdrops, down to the character design, and even just the story as well. This 2019 world of Neo Tokyo, where we see Kaneda and Takeda go out. Sorry, and Tetsu, I should say. Kaneda and Tetsu. And Tetsuo, who basically, you know, it's their story in amongst all this, where obviously in the past there's been some type of destruction to the world of Neo Tokyo, where it got wiped off the face of the planet almost by a character called Akira, which was playing with these psychic powers, all sorts of powers where you can basically destroy telekinetically anything around you, buildings, cars, tanks. You know, anything large will pretty much be an avid target for these characters. And it is the drive between one that's grappling with those powers, which is Tetsuo, who basically has to come to grips with that, you know, he may not make it through this hero's journey of his. Whereas Kaneda, it doesn't have any of those and has to really power up on his wits and his wits alone. It's interesting. If you're a Star Wars fan, you know, the only thing akin to this would be Tetsuo is Luke and Kaneda is Han. You know, one is naturally attuned to the Force. One doesn't have any Force sensibility at all. And when he thinks about Force ghosts, he goes, I don't even know what the hell that is. Which is pretty funny. I'm even choking up just thinking about it, folks. But I've got a great Blu-ray version of it, which comes with a nice booklet as well about the film. About the creation, and the absolutely gorgeous print that comes with it is well worth your time. Now, along with that, I've also picked up, finally, after 20-plus years, it have to be close to 25 years, I found Keith Carradine, Harvey Keitel in a Ridley Scott film called The Duelists. And this is definitely from 1977, one of the odd ducks of cinema that is just amazing. And it's one that, if you haven't experienced it, and it is one of those films which is not seen often, certainly wasn't put out a lot, this is worth checking out. It's got some great features on it too, and some great interviews with Ridley Scott, Kevin Reynolds, and of course also the star, Keith Carradine. No Harvey Keitel to be seen on this one, unfortunately. But, you know, they've got nothing but praising for that actor as well. The film's gorgeous. Obviously, it's set in the period of when we had Napoleon starting to get his might together. And it's basically goes over a space of some 20 to 30 years. And in that time, we get to see the two characters played by Keith Carradine and Harvey Keitel playing officers in Bonaparte's army. And basically, these two characters, de Hubert and de Farrard, from one simple misunderstanding, gone on a rampage of 16 years of constant battle and belittling each other. And it's an interesting idea. It's also one of the ideas that was seen by the writer of Highlander, who took the idea of duelists and then put the immortal spin on it too, which made it very interesting, folks, that's for sure. Along with that, folks, I've got Gerry Anderson's Blu-ray edition of the complete series of Space 1999. I've also got the reboot on the way too, which is something I've had on digital for a while, but again, I'm a completist, folks. I need to see, not only that, I need to see the actual edition of the hard copy, the CD of that. And that is, of course, the new Mark Bonar and Maria Teresa Creasy version of Space 1999, the audio drama, which has some of the original episodes remastered and rebooted into this new universe, which does sound absolutely lavish too, folks. But I'll be doing a Space 1999 episode in a couple of weeks' time to look at the original series, so stay tuned. You know you got to listen to that little sound. It comes on grooving down the Gold Coast way. Hi, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been a real busy day, you know? Oh, wow.
Right,
yeah.
Mate.
Hey. Yeah. It's just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage. Enjoy the show, you know, films and all that sort of stuff. Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
Well, I bet you didn't know this film gets a 6.8 out of 10 on the IMDb site. IMDb, that's right, IMDb means IMDb.com, Internet Movie Database, where you'll find all your information about films, the cast of films, creators, and much, much more, folks. Yes, it is actually quite an enjoyable website to behold, and certainly an app as well. You'll find lots of information there for you to peruse and control and look and all that sort of stuff. So let's chat about this one. This one was on Hulu on American screens, I do believe, but in Australia, it is on Prime Video. It is up for rent on there. That's right. It's not a free one, folks. You got to rent it, but it's worth it, folks. It's a lot of fun. You can also find it now on DVD as well, and I do believe on Blu-ray. Directed by Joe Carnahan and written by Chris Borry, Eddie Borry, and screenplay also by Joe Carnahan. Starring Frank Grillo, Mel Gibson, and Naomi Watts. Look out, folks. We're going to Groundhog's Day with grunge. That's right, a grungy, dirty action film starring Frank Grillo as a mercenary stuck in a time loop. Where he repeats the day of his murder every day. He's a special forces agent, and he has to find out the mystery of his demise. That's my best trailer voice, folks. I hope you enjoy that. The film is literally that. It is, you know, I'm sure it was set about with the writers where they said, let's check this out and let's see if this is something they can really pump out when it comes to action film cinema. That's right. Let's do it. Like, let's take the elements of the Bill Murray film Groundhog's Day, maybe even Looper, the Bruce Willis movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and let's see just what we can do. So, starring this, we have Frank Grillo as Roy Pulver. Again, Grillo, amazing upcoming action star of the world. I'd like to say that this is certainly cementing him as a kind of a Charlie Bronson aged, I would say, in terms of action film. He's, you know, he's getting on a little bit. He's in his 50s. But he's got no sign of slowing down. He is certainly, without a doubt, you know, up there and rocking and rolling. He is somebody that's definitely well-versed in martial arts. From the look of it, it's we'll certainly look at his profile in a sec. But I would say Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. There's a lot of that sort of close quarter and hands up, you know, hands up, got to say respect to anyone doing that sort of style. Again, it comes back to some of the stuff that I've studied, you know, goes back to the combat styles of Daito Ryu, Aiki Jiu-Jitsu, and of course, Shinden Fudo Ryu, the classical samurai era, the feudal era version of Jiu-Jitsu, which spawned Judo, Jiu-Jitsu as we know it, and many other styles. It's, you know, it's a classic Budo arts of Japan, the Taijutsu, the body arts. If you study anything like Bujinkan these days, which actually has some of those original styles in it, do you get the old school techniques, which are coming back in the day, folks? You got to check it out. Mel Gibson plays Colonel Clive Ventor. Isn't that a movie name? It really is. And Mel Gibson's kind of just phoning this one in. You know, he really is. You know, it's he's played this before. He's doing it for the cash, folks, but it's enjoyable for what it is. The amazing Australian Naomi Watts comes in playing Gemma Wells. She's the ill-fated romantic lead of Frank Grillo's Roy Pulver character. And she's great in it. You know, she's, I would say she's phoning it in, but she does quite a good performance in this, and it's a lot of fun. Now, my favorite when it comes to action heroes, you know, out there, and of course involved in Star Trek now, and really interesting to see where she goes with Star Trek. Michelle Yeoh, that's right, folks. Michelle Yeoh from, of course, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and many other amazing films. Right back to, of course, Supercop, Jackie Chan. She plays Dai Fang, kind of a mentor character to Roy Pulver late in the film. We've also got the comedian and amazing voice ventriloquist. I call it that because he can do just about any voice. We're talking about Will Sasso. Sasso the man. That's right. Sasso is here in this film. Plays pretty much the right-hand man to Colonel Clive Ventor. Sasso's fantastic. Always great. And he's a very funny guy. But you only got to check out his podcast appearances and many others where he really pulls off amazing voices of characters all over the place. Great actors. And he's got an uncanny ability to really mimic, you know, the voices themselves. We also have Annabelle Wallace as Alice in this as well. We have Sean McKinney as Dave. We have Selena Low as Guan Yin. And she's quite an amazing character in this, Guan Yin. Guan Yin's one of the many assassins. A lot of these characters are assassins out to take on Frank Grillo's Roy Pulver. And Guan Yin has saying, you know, I am Guan Yin. And Guan Yin has done this. And of course, it gets a payoff later where Roy takes her out, pretty much. That's not giving away any surprises, folks. You know the kind of film you're going in for and what you're going to get out of this. We also have Ken Jeong, the doctor, now turned comedian and actor, who plays Chef Jake in this. And he's kind of sympathetic here to Roy in this, one of the many characters. It's kind of playing on the themes of how you do a Groundhog's Day repeat of the same day. And again, he's, you know, again, someone that can really go toe-to-toe and kind of get a feel for things in it. We also have Meadow Williams in this as Pam. We have Mathilde Olivier as Gabriel. We have Rio Grillo as Joe. Interesting. I'd have to say that must be a relative of course, of Frank, which we're going to we'll check that out in a sec. Amita Lopez plays Esmeralda the chauffeur. We also have Buster Reeves as Mr. Good Morning. Now, if you know anything about martial arts, folks from the UK, you'll know that Buster Reeves is a martial arts champion. Also, one of many involved in a certain trilogy, which I know all of you out there have immense respect for, and is certainly one that to this day is probably, I would say, DC and Warner's ultimate time at the cinemas, and certainly put Marvel on notice. You know, I'd say Marvel's definitely taken a few ideas from the trilogy in terms of keeping a very professional but keen sense on how to build a comic book world. We're going to look at this, the Christopher Nolan series of films, The Dark Knight Trilogy, where Buster Reeves pretty much created the Batman that you see on there in terms of the fighting skills and, of course, alongside the Casey fighting method, the KFM system. Although Buster Reeves, from what I remember, is mainly a jiu-jitsu stylist himself. We also have UFC champion and all-around amazing martial artist and just absolute action man himself, Quentin Rampage Jackson, playing the German twin number one. We have Rashad Evans playing German twin number two, and we also have Eric Etabari playing Roy number two. Now, this is an interesting character where basically it's the idea that's, I think, pinched from Hudson Hawk and probably other cliches, where there's a character that mimics everything that the lead character does. It was done quite well to Bruce Willis in Hudson Hawk, and David Caruso was actually the one that was mimicking him, which was quite funny. But in this, we've got, again, it's kind of the Hudson Hawk tone in this, which is interesting. Yeah, it's not the same kind of movie, but it certainly plays up that sort of penchant for comedy as well. You know, it's tongue-in-cheek, it certainly is. If you like this film, IMDb itself has kind of given a bit of an idea of the kind of ones that you're going to enjoy. Things like Kate, Love and Monsters, The Wrath of Man, John Wick 3. Kind of see that. The Tomorrow War. Now, that's one we definitely like. FPN Crowd love that one as well, and might even cover that. I don't know that we'll cover it on Lethal. We might be covering it on one of their shows if they haven't covered it already, without a doubt, one of the cool ones. But I got to say, I really did enjoy it, and it's
you know, that film. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Pratt, but he did that really, really well. Certainly is one of the better performances. All right, so folks, we're going to talk about some of the trivia before we get into the production, because I want to find out some of the background on this film, which I think is going to be interesting for all of you. So Rio Grillo plays the son Joe in the film, which is actually Frank Grillo's son. So I was right, folks. How good is that? Fantastic. And they have some great scenes that where Frank's talking about some really good pop culture things that you all know about, folks. Atari, Commodore 64, Nintendo, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, many other great things would turn up in computer game adaptations. All out there, folks. It's really, really good. And it looks like Carnahan's been trying to make this movie for quite a while. It was originally talked about into terms of what the film was. It was going to be written by the same writers back in 2010, and it was called Continue. And it's been basically, I suppose, in development hell since then. But it's moved forward once they found the right star, which, of course, is Grillo. So, which is really interesting. Interesting that in this, Roy tells to Joe that Liam Neeson is fake. Which is a lot of fun because Joe Carnahan directed Liam Neeson in A-Team and The Grey. So it's funny how that sort of popped up. And, of course, we've got Rampage Jackson in this, who played, of course, a character in that which you knew, all know very well, that Mr. T played originally. This is a film that's dedicated to Frank Grillo's mother, who passed away earlier in 2019 as well. So we've got some classic bits of action cinema here, and some that you'll see in, of course, sci-fi films, like The Wilhelm Scream is in it. So if you can think about that, you might see it in a helicopter scene. You've seen that one too. This is Mel's second film with Grillo after The Edge of Darkness. Now, Edge of Darkness was pretty much a remake, I do believe, of a film that, or a miniseries that was done by UK TV back many, many years ago. And was done by the director, of course, of Casino Royale. So, you know, going back that fast, of course, the director also of GoldenEye. So probably worth you checking out, folks. And again, it was one that put out by the same as well when it came to the movie as well. There was also, with this one too, yeah, the fact that Grillo's in this as very much the Bill Murray role of Groundhog's Day, kind of a little bit like the Tom Cruise character in Edge of Tomorrow, where you're replaying things, and as you do, the wealth of knowledge starts building up because you've done it before. You've done it so many times. You're kind of like, all right, I know I'll be able to predict this and that. And it's not pre-science, but you just know through memory. You're the only person that can remember everything that's happening as you go through it. So it's interesting. Even the Russian title of this film is Denkirka, which means Day of Trigger, which, of course, means kind of like Groundhog Day, all right? The same sort of idea. This is also Mel Gibson and John Cenotiempo's first film together since Lethal Weapon 3. There you go. So something I didn't know about either. It's interesting, too, about this film is that, you know, Joe Carnahan's, as mentioned with the cast, using some cast that he's used previously. So he got to know Frank Grillo on The Grey. And obviously he's bringing some of the talent he's had from, obviously, A-Team in this as well. But what I like about that is he's a director, a little bit like, I suppose, Ridley Scott, who tends to use as his, you know, people again. You know, it's going back to the feel of bigger casts like Smokin' Aces back in 2006. Which, again, had a much larger cast, but has the idea of using those in such a way that there's probably not as big a lead as the character of Frank Grillo plays in this, but you still have a thorough line, if you like, of the plot. It's still linear enough to follow when it comes to that too. All right, folks, so let's get into a little bit more about the film itself and what we enjoyed. And I think, too, I mean, we've got a cast who's, you know, most of it, you know these actors. You've seen them before. You know exactly how good they are. And they are all amazing when it comes to, you know, their abilities. You know, I mean, the standouts for me are obviously Frank Grillo and Michelle Yeoh. They're two who just continually do different stuff all the time, and they nail it on the head. It is definitely a science fiction film as well as an action film. There's so much in there in terms of comedy and little bits of martial arts that's sort of spread a little bit further. So Roy Pulver is a retired Delta Force guy. He's based in Atlanta. Stuck in this time loop where everything just keeps happening again. He wakes up 7 a.m. And avoids being killed by a killer in his apartment, then followed by a chopper. And he escapes, gets into a car, which he steals, and then is chased down by two women with a minigun on the top of their car all the way through. Each time he's either killed early or not. And then sometimes he's able to get past that as well. On the day before he got into the actual loop itself, he and his ex-wife, Gemma, had asked Roy to basically visit her at the lab that she works at. She's a scientist, basically trying to get a job interview. And the two have a big argument about their child. Obviously, this is Joe, the son of Frank Grillo. And then basically, they believe that Roy is just a family friend, not a real father. So the kid doesn't know anything about him. In this, we bring in, of course, Clive Venter, a colonel and head of the research development, who discovers that Roy is so close to the highly classified project, has him taken out, but not before. Obviously, Gemma has taken a sample, something from Roy, which will set him up for the project. From here, he basically gets stuck in this time loop. And each time he's in the time loop, he's edging his way closer to finding out about the mystery of what it's all about. And of course, it's all about the end of the world. And of course, the Osiris Project is what it's called. And again, there's little bits and pieces that he finds out. And finally, he figures out it's all about the Osiris Spindle. Not only does he find out about that, he's able to actually meet his son. And of course, in that, build up, obviously, a little bit of a rapport and figure out just what is happening behind everything. So it is one of those, you know, believe it or not sort of stories, and it's quite interesting. I've enjoyed it, and I think it certainly fits that mold. So this goes back as far as 2012, where Joe Carnahan had been working on the film under the name of Continue, and this was with 20th Century Fox at the time. And he simply said exactly what we've just talked about, Groundhog Day as an action film. Now, obviously, too, it has sensibilities which are definitely cartridge video game ones, you know. Certainly has that first-person shooter feel, you know, a bit of, if anything, it also has a bit of, you know, that sort of Gran Turismo or whatever you want to call it, Grand Theft Auto feel to it as well, definitely in that sort of mold. But it wasn't until about 2017, that they had started getting all the cast together and putting it together. It was shot in 2019 in April, where they took place basically in Atlanta, in the Pullman Yard, the Oakland City MARTA station, and the Georgia Aquarium, and also in Decatur. A restaurant scene was filmed also in Atlanta in 2018, in May. And that wrapped the film, and budget was around about the $45 million mark. So there you go. Now, this film was one that went straight to streaming here in Australia, and you know, again, if it's straight to streaming, I don't really feel that it's going to be a huge piece of action cinema. But when it comes out, it really, I mean, it hit good stride out here with a couple of good mates of mine that are not really film goers. You know, they listen to the podcast and get ideas from me on what action films to watch and stuff. But they said, hey, mate, Adam, it's, mate, that's a pretty solid film. That Frank fella, he's, he's pretty good. He might give that Scott Atkins a bit of a run for his money, eh? And look, I've got to give it to him. He's 100% right, is that Frank Grillo is maybe the American answer for Scott Atkins. You know, he is a fantastic you know, actor. He plays it up well. He's got that weathered appearance, as in terms of he's been through a few, fights, whatever you want to call it. He certainly has lived a bit of a life, but he's still useful enough to kick some ass, you know, and that's what I think is so good about having him as the lead in this. And you believe him. You know, he's certainly somebody that looks, you know, military or at least ex-military, whatever you want to call it, and could definitely take care of himself. That's what I love about Grillo, and I certainly want to see him do more lead work. You know, he's been in Marvel, he's been in Warrior, obviously the movie with Tom Hardy, etc. But I think he's better than that. You know, he has a depth to him. He's not just your actual star that can do his kicks, do his jiu-jitsu, and then, you know, do a wisecrack. He's somebody that has the ability to really push, I think, a good theatrical performance and give us something half decent. I really think this is a good launching pad for him to move into those sorts of areas. So big hats off to Frank on a fantastic film. In the cast, you know, the cast are really good in this. Standouts again, Selena Lowe and Michelle Yeoh. And Will Sasso, you know, he does a fantastic job in this too. Folks, the film gets a solid 5 out of 5 here at the Lethal Mullet Podcast, and you have to check it out.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. Endzone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast, looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe, which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at. There you can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.